Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. I'm your host, Jay Adams, managing editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. Joining me to my adjacent right, your left.
I thought I was directly across from you.
Not directly. You're more of a, if I'm looking at a clock, you're more at my 1 o'clock than you are my 12 o'clock.
Yes. All right. That's
but
true.
This is Daniel Cox who's talking to me right there. We decided to bring him back.
Thank goodness.
Even after last week's sugar glider incident.
That sounds so much worse than it is.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We'll just leave it at that. So let's get into this week's podcast. Obviously, a lot to cover. The Falcons coming off a 27-3 win over San Diego at Qualcomm Stadium. West Coast trip turns out to be successful again for Mike Smith and company. Great game. I think we'll touch on that real quick. For me, the big thing that stands out was just how much of a complete game effort it was. In all three phases, I think this was about as complete a team effort as I think you'll see. There were a couple of miscues, of course. They're going to be in every game. There's no such thing as a perfect game. But I think for what the Falcons were up against as far as coming off of a Monday night game, taking that West Coast trip on a short week, I think they performed extremely well. And to hold that offense, I think, to 3 points, something that, you know, the Chargers, I think, had scored a touchdown in 151 straight games. And for them to not score a touchdown, not find the end zone against this Falcons defense, I think says a lot. Great game overall. I mean, there's really just not too many issues came out of that one.
No, you're right. I mean, it was a balanced game. It was a balanced win. It was exactly the kind of game I think most fans wanted to see the Falcons play. You know, giving those scenarios, you know, the short week, West Coast travel, but you know, also coming off of Monday's game and how emotional and how big of a win it was for the Falcons. I think it was important to the fans especially, but I think it was important to the players as well to come out and play a game like that, and they did. And the Chargers are a legit team. I don't think anyone questions that or doubts that in any way. You know, and I think the biggest thing to me is that balance, but, you know, they had that balance, and the running game was there, and the running game was really on in the second half, and it was really important. You know, Matt's numbers, passing weren't as mind-blowing as maybe some things he could have done or some of the games he's already had. His numbers were good. They were efficient, but, you know, they didn't blow anybody. It wasn't he's not up for offensive player of the week. The running game was really, you know, really carried it in the second half. 119 yards. The Chargers had only given up 83 yards rushing in two previous games total. So, Michael Turner, 80 yards. Jaquizz was doing some really good things as well. And I think that's a promising sign moving forward. But, yeah, it was a really balanced win. I think it was important to go out there and play that way.
Yeah, and you bring up a point that I want to touch on a little bit more. And I actually wrote a story about this yesterday. Is just, you were talking about Matt Ryan's numbers, and I think it's worth pointing out that, the Falcons offense hasn't had too many full fields to work with in three games, and that's because the defense has been setting them up, defense and special teams both been setting them up with great field position, and they're capitalizing on that field position. The Falcons scoring 40 points off of turnovers this year, forced 11 turnovers, scored 40 points off of them. They're tied for third in the league in points, and yet all the other offensive categories, rushing yards per game, passing yards per game, all below 15 in the league. So that's a product of them starting out with really great field position, being in a good place, and I think they're playing about as well as they could be.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right, and that just goes back to that whole team win, that balanced idea that I think was so important in San Diego, and you make a really good point. Matt's tied for first in the league with touchdown passes, but like his yards, you know,
yeah,
total are like
15th,
14th, 12th, somewhere in there.
You're absolutely right, but it's just funny looking at the numbers.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you're thinking, oh, wow, Matt Ryan's playing out of his mind right now, and you look at his numbers and you're like, well, the numbers don't really bear that out, but it's not because he's not being efficient or not throwing all these times. It's that he's working with a very short field and they're fine in the end zone, and I think that is a mark where, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, you know, yeah, our offense may be 19th in the league in rushing yards per game, but we'll take it as long as they're getting it done. Tied for third in points per game.
Absolutely, tied for third.
That's the stat that matters.
Yeah, touchdowns, and also Matt's second in the league, or the offense total is second in the league in third down conversions, and I think that's really, really impressive.
And if you remember back a couple of years, the past couple of years, that's been a huge stat of concern. That's been a huge problem, and they've really shored that up. And
absolutely.
If you want to look at efficiency, I mean, you look at that Chargers game and the couple of long drives. Yeah. There was a 10-play drive. There was a 17-play drive.
Yeah.
Converting, this offense is working right now. They're hot, and they're hot in all three phases of the game too. And that's what I like to see right now.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad you agree with me. Well, let's get into Carolina. Obviously, the Falcons right now, after their first three games, we can pretty much crown them AFC West champions.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the NFC South, because that's a division that matters. Get that play started this Sunday at the Georgia Dome with Cam Newton and his gang of misfits coming to town, 1 o'clock. Kickoff on Fox. You can catch the game if you're not going to be at the Georgia Dome. Carolina's coming off that really bad loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they what was the score of that game? Do you have that? You look that up while I ramble on. Carolina is coming off that loss. It was Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. 36-7.
Yeah.
36-7.
And the Giants beat them like consistently every quarter, like 10 points.
It was pretty handily, and mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of Falcons fans talking about how this game is a slam dunk for the Falcons, and I don't we're gonna get into buy and sell here in a minute, but I'm gonna sell that idea, because I think once you get in division play, everything gets ratcheted up just a little bit more. Let's not forget that Cam Newton was the rookie of the year last year.
Yeah.
He was an extremely efficient, extremely dangerous quarterback. He can hurt you in a lot of different ways. Steve Smith is still Steve Smith. You've got a couple of running backs there who can get the job done. On defense, you get John Beeson back, who's healthy. He was out last year with an injury. And then you've got the rookie Luke Kuechly, who I think has been impressive so far. There are a lot of different areas on this team that can hurt you, and I think looking at this game as a slam dunk win would be a mistake. And I think we've heard it in the locker room all week, they're expecting a tight game, and I think everybody should be as well.
Absolutely. And they just continue to speak about division games are they almost have a playoff atmosphere about them, because there's a rivalry to some extent involved, and the familiarity is there. They play each other twice a season, so they're approaching it with that kind of mentality. They're not expecting a performance from Cam Newton like he gave last week with only one touchdown. They're not expecting that at all. They're expecting the Cam Newton that kept the Panthers in so many games last season, and like you said, was rookie of the year. He had a really good season, so I don't think I think that's a lot of fan speak. This slam dunk game. After watching, and I think it's also because so many people saw the Panthers play last Thursday night. It was a national TV game as well. So, and they played so poorly. I think so many people see that. I don't know. I just don't think players think that way at all. So,
yeah, and I mean, you leave it up to the fans for that. That's where the guys are focused on this game.
Absolutely.
Obviously, things are a little different out in the fan world. So
yeah.
I just think it's one of those games where you've got to expect their best shot.
Yeah,
you've got to expect them to come in. They're not going to be happy that they lost 37-6.
And they're saying the same things in Charlotte about that the Falcons are here in Atlanta. It's a division game. We expect a tough game. They're going to come out, and now the Falcons are 3-0. The Falcons are one of those teams that are getting talked about a lot. They kind of have a little bit of a target.
Yeah,
they're going to get everybody's best shot now.
And it's going to keep ratcheting up until for the foreseeable future, because that's just the way that teams are going to attack the Falcons. There is no flying under the radar right now. When you're one of 3-0 teams, it puts you under the microscope a little bit.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I fully expect Carolina to come in here ready to roll and expecting to go home with a win. And that's the way the guys down in the locker room are expecting it too.
Yeah.
I don't believe this game is as easy as some will lead you to believe. I love the confidence in our team right now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. But we do need to be realistic and say, hey, you know, Carolina is a darn good football team.
Yeah, and you look back to the last game we played them. Yes, it was a win, but it wasn't easy by any means.
Didn't start out that way.
No. What was it? Down by 16.
17.
Okay, going into the fourth quarter, it took two Matt Ryan touchdowns to Julio Jones to come back and win 31-23. So, you know, and there's not a lot of changeover there.
And now this is a Carolina Panthers team that's a year older now.
Absolutely. And they got a couple pieces coming back, like you mentioned, Beeson. Mm-hmm. I don't recall his name, like a guy on the defensive line that was, you know,
Charles
be
Johnson.
But they got a guy coming back that they lost last season, a defensive tackle. It was supposed to be, you know, a part of their rotation that was going to be significant, and they lost him. So they got pieces coming back. You know, they're off to a tough start. You know, they have the capability to come in and do some really bad things. So.
Yep.
You know, but on the other hand, you know, I feel good about the Falcons, where they're kind of at, you know, heading into this game. You know, yes, they had a crazy last week, you know, two games basically in 1 week, you know, a short week. Coach Smith gave them victory Monday. It's the first Monday they had off this year. I know for a fact the guys felt really good about that. And, of course, they had their typical Tuesday off. If they do feel refreshed, I can say that. I don't think we're going to get any kind of, like, you know, letdowns as far as, like, being physical or anything like that. I feel like they feel real good about their health right now.
All right, well, what do you say about a little buy or sell?
I'm always happy about that.
Always?
Absolutely.
There's never a time that you're not up for some buy or sell?
No, I mean, I'm wanting to play buy or sell even when I'm not sitting in your office.
All right, well, then let's get to it. Let's not delay.
Please.
All right, our first buy or sell topic, again, if we agree with it, we're going to buy it. If we disagree with it, we're going to sell it, just like they do down in Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So,
and we'll, what is it? Price is Right?
The Price is Right.
Do they do that there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm working.
That was a topic at lunch. So.
Yeah. All right. So the first topic that we are going to either buy or sell is that, coming off the 36-7 loss against the New York Giants, Cam Newton is going to be more motivated to play because of that loss.
I sell that. I mean, he's going to be motivated. If he's not motivated to play, he's not. He shouldn't be playing in the NFL. I mean, I don't feel like he needs additional motivation. That's one thing I've always heard players say is, you know, it doesn't. You don't need some big game or some big situation to rise up to it. You know, to steal the Falcons slogan, which is completely appropriate. But I just don't feel like guys think that way. He's a great player. He has significant confidence in his abilities. Did he have a bad week last week? Yeah, I think he's admitted to that. I think he's owned up to a lot of that. If anything, it should be the inverse, you know, or whatever, the opposite of that. Cam's going to come ready to play. So I sell that.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of the idea that I believe you can learn just as much, if not more, from losing than you can winning. And I think that Cam is the kind of guy who's going to take that loss. He's going to take it personally, and he went back to work and he started working on the Falcons. We need to remember, Carolina played on a Thursday. They had the entire weekend plus all of this week to get ready for the Falcons. This is a team that's going to be ready. Cam is going to be in that right mindset. He comes out, he plays a brand of football that is fun. He loves being out there. You can tell it. He doesn't want to be somewhere else. So he's going to come in. Those kinds of guys are always motivated, whether it's the first game of the season, whether they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, no matter what the situation is. Guys like that are gamers. They come to play. I don't expect Cam to be any more motivated than he would normally be. I completely agree with you there. But I think he learned something from that loss. Mm-hmm. And I think whatever he learned from that loss makes him maybe even a little bit more dangerous for this game.
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, our second topic. The Falcons are due for a letdown anytime now, right? Right?
Right? You know, the tortured souls of the Falcons fans. I think there are some that buy that, but I'm going to sell that, and I'm selling it because I just feel like, you know, I see guys like Thomas Dekeaux in the locker room. I see guys like Matt Ryan, you know, fifth-year guys. You know, there's still Mike Peterson's back in the corner. He's not going to let the linebackers even think for a minute they got this, you know. I see there's such a good mix of veteran leadership with some really, really experienced young guys like Julio, you know, and these guys, they – you know, we've heard this a couple of times this week. I don't really know where the story kind of came from, but it kind of took on some legs. Players and even Coach Smith talking about the confidence and the maturity of these guys and how much they enjoy playing together. And you know, there's definitely a different attitude out there on the practice field this year. Not that they never had fun and it wasn't evident, you know, just in watching them practice. But you know, there's a playfulness. There's an attitude that they really, really enjoy what they're doing, and it shows. And you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say the Falcons are gonna go 16-0. That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
That would be special.
Right.
But you know, there's. I think you gotta be prepared to have some games that you lose. You know, it's just gonna happen over the course of the season, but. But I don't feel like these guys are going to give you the kind of letdown maybe you've seen from Falcons teams in the past where they kind of came out and you know they were a little flat or they just didn't quite have the game or present the kind of game you felt like they were capable of. I think these guys are always going to be competitive this year. So I'm going to sell that. I don't think you can really count on a letdown until you really see it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I know. We need to disagree more, don't we? But I am going to agree with you here. But, you know, the thing for me is that in the two previous years that I've been here with the Falcons and I've watched these teams, there have been a couple of games where beforehand I'll be like, I don't know, mm-hmm. This game could go either way. This game kind of scares me a little bit. I don't have that feeling anymore. And the reason I had that feeling wasn't a commentary on the level of play or anything like that, or whether I thought we had a good team or whatever, because clearly we did. We've had good teams in the past 2 years. For me, it was more of that maturity. Are they mature enough? Can they handle it? If they get down, can they come back? Can mm-hmm. they keep their head up? That was what would scare me. I don't feel that way about this team at all.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, you've got all these five-year guys who have been around. They are the leaders of this team right now, and the confidence is just coming out of this place. I mean, it's really amazing to see, and I don't think that I'll approach any game, regardless of what happens between now and next game and the next game and the next game, I don't think that I'm going to go into any game being like, I don't know, I'm a little worried about this one. I truly feel now that every game that we go into, we are going to be able to hang with anybody in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that comes from just the confidence and the maturity that this team has gained over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And coming from the losses, you know, I was talking a little bit about how you learn just as much, if not more, from a loss. I think this is a team that epitomizes that, coming off the playoff losses that obviously still sting. But these are things that this team has learned, that they've grown from, and I really see that maturity coming through with these guys. So do I buy that the Falcons are due for a letdown? No, I don't, because I don't feel like it's in their DNA to let down too much. And if they're gonna lose, it's gonna be
because the other
fluky,
team gave,
or it's gonna
gave
be
it to them.
Or it's gonna be because, you know, it's not going to be because they let down. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way. I feel like this is a team that can, again, to borrow the phrase, rise up over anything that's in front of them. And I think that it the maturity and the confidence, those two things have just really flourished in the last 12 months.
Absolutely.
Let's get on to our next topic, shall we?
Yes, sir.
We have one more, and this is a good one. Thomas Dekeaux and William Moore need to buy tickets to Hawaii right now. Right?
Right?
You can lead it off again.
Okay. Basically, this is funny that Basically, Thomas was asked that exact question yesterday, and he just about fell down laughing. He's like, there's no way in the world do I need to even be thinking about this. Basically, and it's funny that, you know, the way we discussed the first two topics here, talking about, you know, learning from, you know, experiences that haven't gone your way. You know, Thomas said, and he said, you know, he felt like he could speak for William as well. You know, this league will humble you quickly. And he's like, I know I have, and William has as well, been humbled by this league. And we're not going for a second going to begin to even think about things like that. Would it be amazing? Absolutely. But he's like, you know, we're just taking it one game at a time. We're just trying to go out there and get wins, you know, and whatever happens in the next 13 weeks is what happens. But those guys aren't even thinking about that. So I'm selling it. They don't need to buy their tickets right now. Let's just enjoy. And this is a great, another great thing I heard today from Tony. He said, you know, let's not think about, you know, whether we're going to make a run into the playoffs or anything. We're 3-0. We're playing well. We can still improve, obviously, but we're having a good time playing. 3-0. Let's just enjoy each win and each game as we go through it. And I think that's a really great piece of advice, you know, if he were going to give that to Thomas and William. They're huge parts of what's happening on defense right now. But I know they're not really thinking about the Pro Bowl or anything like that, which is these tickets to Hawaii, by the way.
Probably should have clarified that.
Huh? I mean, there's a good chance these guys are buying tickets to Hawaii.
That would be
a purchase you would make in advance, you know.
You would.
It's probably off season right now, so.
Again, we're not thinking that far ahead, right?
Exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, they're just kind of taking it one game at a time, and that's straight from their mouths as well. So I would definitely sell that. Let's not get too caught up in some of that stuff right now. It's early. 3-0 is nice. Some of the things they're doing is nice, but let's just take it one game at a time. Let's enjoy what these guys are doing right now. Let's see what they're going to do next.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I'm like, do I agree with him or don't I? Do I agree with him or don't I?
It would be great for the podcast if you disagreed.
All right, well, I'll disagree to a certain extent, okay? And it's because I see the potential. I see the potential there. Okay. I see the potential where Thomas Dekou, I think, is growing up right before our eyes.
Absolutely.
The strides that he's made in three games are just absolutely – it cannot be overstated how far he's come. He's on his second contract now. This is the kind of progression that you expect out of a guy like this. He's coming in. He's being a leader in the secondary. He's being that guy that says, you know what? I'm going to get the ball. I'm going to make this tackle. I'm going to do the things that I need to do to make this defense better, to make this team win. I love what I see out of him. William Moore, I think you're seeing the same things out of him. You're seeing this potential start to come to life with these two guys now. And I think that when it comes down to it, if they can continue to play the way they are they going to get an interception in every game? Probably not. It would be amazing if they did, but probably not. It's tough to sustain that level of play, especially as quarterbacks start to scout you a little more, they recognize you a little more, they start to figure you out a little more. If they continue to play at the clip that they're playing right now, I don't think there's any way that you can deny them a trip to the Pro Bowl. Is it too early to be thinking about that? Absolutely. But I think the potential's there, and I think that's what the Falcons saw all along, is that they wanted two safeties that could come in and contend as Pro Bowl type players, as all pro type players, and to be, we've talked here for a couple of weeks about the safety tandem, and how important that is in the NFL. And I think these two guys, I mean, they're right up there right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right there as far as a duo.
Yeah, and the arrow's pointing up with both of those guys, and I think that the potential is there for both of them to make a bid for Hawaii. After three games, you can't say that. However, it may be something that both of those guys could think about in the future.
From your standpoint, yes, it's fair to say these guys they certainly deserve to be in the discussion. I just don't feel like Thomas and Will are thinking about that.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not thinking about that. Nobody's thinking about that, you know. But I think that the potential's there. I don't know that they should go and buy tickets unless they really want to visit Hawaii, which who doesn't, honestly?
Yeah, I would love to.
I've never been.
I haven't either.
I hear great things.
Yeah.
But I think the fact still remains that these are two guys who are starting to come into their own right now, and they're starting to show the potential that, hey, you know, we could be in the Pro Bowl conversation at some point.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So in some kind of roundabout way, I'm disagreeing with you, but I'm more agreeing with
you. It's not very – I mean, that's not an aggressive disagreement.
No, it's not. Like, we're not going to fight over this one, I don't think. Okay.
I mean, again, well, maybe someday.
Another peaceful and amicable buy or sell comes to a close. Let's get into some Twitter questions, which aren't really questions. They're more comments. Folks, you really need to tweet us your questions. Don't you have questions?
I mean, if you have questions.
Do you want to know something like Julio Jones's favorite animal?
Let's not go there again. Okay. Please. That almost went south quickly.
Yeah, that almost got you kicked off the podcast. All right. Well, Brian Ellering?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. From Twitter, I think Mike Nolan really confuses Cam with different schemes and offense roles good enough to put the W on an important division game. That's his prediction for Sunday. Boy, it's tough to argue with Mike Nolan being ready for anything at this point, is it?
Yeah, it's tough to argue that for sure. And he makes a good point. I think, you know, the confusion aspect is there. I think Cam obviously presents, you know, a different set of challenges for the defense because, you know, Cam, as we've heard a couple of times now from Coach Smith, I asked him yesterday and, you know, I asked Willie more of that today. You know, they kind of talk about, you know, Cam is not just a quarterback. Like, he also presents himself as a ball carrier. You know, so they have to account for that in different ways. I'm kind of interested just from a football fan, like, you know, scheme perspective, if you get into that kind of stuff, I'm interested to see what Coach Nolan does with that, how they handle that. I think the linebackers are going to be a really big part of this game plan. Not that they aren't always, but I think they're going to be important in handling Cam and kind of keeping him where he needs to be, which is an interesting thing. You know, to say, considering what the next question is. But why don't you have something to say about that first?
I think you cleared that up so well.
Okay.
Do you really need my input?
Technically, no.
I think Mike Nolan is
different schemes. Yeah, they're going to show some unique things.
I just love what he's doing, and I think he's really created some excitement. With his scheme, as well as Dirk Koetter on offense.
Absolutely.
I think just both of those guys coming in with the fresh perspective, the fresh take that they've got on everything, is really, really shining through here in the first 3 weeks. So, I like the prediction.
Yeah, I have no issues.
I have no issues with that prediction.
If the game goes that way, I'll be pleased.
Me as well. So let's go off of those linebackers. As Falcons Diva, 28, says Spoon and Nicholas will handle Cam. No way he's coming into our house and leaving victorious.
That's quite a statement.
It's a good statement.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part you look at Spoon and Nicholas as being the guys who, you know, if Cam wants to venture out of the pocket, those are the two guys he'll have to contend with.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a fun battle to kind of watch the way those two guys on the edge and the linebacking crew kind of handle Cam. It's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be maybe a more physical kind of style play than some of what we've seen than in some past games. But because I think that's going to be kind of a key element in kind of combating how you handle a mobile quarterback. I think you really need to go after him and kind of make him think twice about leaving the pocket. He's not going to want to get hit all day. And Cam's a big guy. He can handle some hits. But, you know, I think that's going to be part of the approach. And Spoon and Nicholas, you know, Steven Nicholas, I think that those guys are built to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, and these are two guys who have had some practice at, bringing down a big quarterback. You know, that obviously Cam is sizey. I think he's at 245. But then you've also got Josh Freeman in the division as well. And they've had a couple of years to hit around with him.
Yeah,
and
really,
that's not an easy thing to do. And you know, a couple of real big quarterbacks in this division. So, it's clearly something that they've got some practice with. But I think wrapping up is the most important thing. You can't let them get a second chance. And you certainly don't want your secondary trying to take too many shots at bringing Cam down.
No. And they've been doing a nice job of tackling. Coach mentioned that yesterday. He felt like that was something that he was pleased with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, it that'll be an interesting matchup to watch for sure, is how well Spoon and Nicholas, keep Cam under wraps, so to speak, and keep him from doing too much damage with his feet. All right, our last one here is an actual question from Bindus Andy. What has been the biggest goal of the 2012 Falcons squad? Where do they see themselves in December? I think, the goals, Coach Smith always talks about how the goals of this team are always kept internal, meaning they're always going to be in the team meeting room. Mm-hmm. So let's preface this by saying we don't know what their actual goals are. We can only guess as to what the Falcons may have made as goals for themselves.
I think you gather things, you infer certain things based on conversations
you
have over the course of the season.
But they don't let us in the team meeting.
No, I've asked.
I've tried sneaking in.
Yes, I've asked them directly, hey, what are the goals this year? What are you guys
doing? I tried dressing up as Justin Blaylock one time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, they still sniff me out.
I believe it.
Probably because I sat next to the actual Justin Blaylock.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That's not a good way to.
Like, hey, this guy over here, imposter. Any NFL team, every NFL team, all 32 of them, they go into every season with one goal.
Yeah.
Period.
And that's obvious.
That's the big one, okay? So we can clear that one up right now.
Super Bowl. Right. That is the goal, right? Okay.
Is that what?
Yeah.
Championship.
Yeah.
Is that?
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl championship. All right, so.
Champions of the world.
You know, this is about the time of the podcast where the wheels just really fall off.
It's wobbling.
Yeah. We are struggling to hold it together as you drink out of a straw.
There's a reason for that.
Yep.
It's a good one.
All right, so as far as other goals, you know, it's really tough to speculate what the minor goals might be. But I think we're starting to see that, you know, they want to pass the ball as much as possible. They want to be efficient passing the ball. They want to convert on third downs.
Yeah.
They want to decrease the number of penalties, and we've seen both of those things happen. Along the offensive line, you want to see Matt Ryan stay upright, and they've done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think anybody can possibly talk about that enough.
No.
Is just how well the offensive line has played. But as far as those things go, I think they're not like, you know, hey, we definitely want to be – you know, number one in the power rankings. Or,
yeah,
you know,
no.
Whatever. They don't care about those things.
Yeah.
You know, but they want to be an efficient football team. They, you know, at each position, they have their own goals for what they want to accomplish.
And yeah.
I think we're starting to see, hey, if those are indeed goals of this team, and I think they are, they can start scratching them off the list.
Yeah, I think you make an interesting point. And I thought the question was interesting, you know, because I don't think, you know, we always kind of, I don't think we talk about kind of how the Falcons may are approaching a season, and I think that's a good thing to think about. And I think you're right. I think you see, especially I think some of the goals that Jay you're kind of hypothesizing, so to speak, are based off of some things that didn't go well last year, some things they want to improve on. I also think a pretty solid goal for them is they definitely wanted to win the division. I think they want a home playoff game. I think those are some goals, and those are. I think it's pretty reasonable to say that. You
sure.
Know, Super Bowl, obviously, yes, of course.
Super Bowl.
You got to right.
It's the falsetto podcast.
Yes, but you got you got to win some games to get there, and you got to do some things before that happens. You know, I asked Steven Nicholas back in training camp. You know, what are some of your goals as a linebackers? And I think they want to be a number one defense. I think they want to be a top five defense overall.
Sure.
You know, I think from a points perspective, I think that's maybe how they look at it. I think if they can be top five in points allowed, points allowed, I think you're going to be pretty solid. I think something that Thomas said yesterday, Thomas DeCue said, you know, we enter the game, we want to have, you know, a handful of interceptions or takeaways of some sort. Those are solid goals that they have going into each game, and I think that's kind of how they approach the season as a whole.
It's really a multi-layered thing. It's, look, we've all got one big goal at the end of the year, but then there's goals as a team. There's goals at positions. There's goals that apply to games. Like, it's all these different areas that get covered by what they want to accomplish, what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's really impossible for us to know everything that they're making goals out of, but I think you can certainly surmise that they've at least accomplished a couple of them so far.
Oh, they're well on their way. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know, and Coach Smith, you know, he always says, our one goal, we will talk about this goal, is Our one goal is to win each quarter of the season.
Yeah.
So you break the season up into four quarters. We're coming up to the end of the first quarter of the season with this game. Falcons are 3-0. Worst they can do in this quarter is 3-1. That's winning this quarter of the season.
Absolutely.
So there's
your 12 wins.
There's your nugget. Yeah. 12 wins if you go 3-1. Mm-hmm. Look at you with your
math. I've been working on my math lately.
Have you?
Yeah.
How's that working?
Cause it's good.
I have tried.
You know, it's basically I just opened the door right there.
Yep.
Multiplication. Just come up with a couple numbers and just see if you can multiply them.
Just while you're bored, instead of playing buy or sell. Can you play buy or sell by yourself? Or?
By myself. I play buy or sell.
Well, that's going to do it for another week of the Falcon Cast podcast. We'll leave you on that note of mathematic wonder.
That's me.
The mathematic wonder.
Yeah, just call me that from now on.
No.
All right.
All right. So, Falcons fans, we will be back with another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast next week after the Falcons take care of business against the Carolina Panthers. We'll see you at the game on Sunday.